Funding for this talk comes from TrialX, connecting patients to clinical trials.
Good evening and welcome to Cure Talks. I'm Shweta Mishra, your host, joining you from India. And this evening on Cure Talks 129th episode, we are discussing novel technologies to check male fertility status with Dr. Jamin Brahmbhatt. Male factor infertility accounts for 50% of total cases of troubled conception. Unfortunately, male infertility is not as promptly reported as female infertility, which is tracked by the Society of Assisted Reproductive Technology database. One key reason for the underreporting of male infertility is lesser availability of means of tracking it. When it comes to fertility testing, where women have quite a few options over-the-counter products, men have very limited options. Today, we are talking to our eminent guest and expert, Dr. Jamin Brahmbhatt, who is back on Cure Talks to educate us about new options available for men and also discuss novel advancements in techniques to check male fertility status. On our earlier shows on Cure Talks, we have discussed topics like high-risk pregnancy care, social egg freezing, fertility preservation in cancer survivors, emotional aspects of infertility with our knowledgeable experts like Dr. Shannon Clark, Dr. Amy, the Egg Whisperer, Dr. Moza Shamanki, Dr. Richard Paulson, and Dr. Christian Bendixson. Our expert today, Dr. Jamin Brahmbhatt, is a board-certified urologic surgeon specializing in chronic testicular pain and infertility. Dr. Brahmbhatt has completed his urology residency at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center, followed by a clinical fellowship in robotic microsurgery and male infertility at the University of Florida. An active member of several organizations, professional organizations, he is also active in public engagement. He is a TEDx speaker, on-air expert, and National Authority on Men's Health. Every June, during Men's Health Month, Dr. Brahmbhatt and his partner organize the Drive for Men's Health, a 10-day, 6,000-mile public engagement road trip, encouraging men to eat better, get active, and engage in preventative medical screening. Currently, he is the co-director of the PUR, Personalized Urology and Robotics Clinic at South Lake Hospital and Orlando Health. I welcome you to Cure Talks, Dr. Brahmbhatt. Thank you for finding time for us.
Hey, thank you for having me. That's quite an introduction. Is that really me? Or?
Oh, That's you. I just went through your website. It's quite interesting.
So that's the whole blog itself. That's the whole hour talk here, yeah. My introduction.
Exactly. I will be talking about that soon. So on the panel, we have today with us Kristen Darcy. Kristen is a noted author, fertility coach, motivational speaker, and an expert on emotional aspects of both infertility and divorce recovery. Kristen is the author of Girlfriend to Girlfriend, a Fertility Companion, and the award-winning book Love and Infertility, Survival Strategies for Balancing Infertility, Marriage, and Life. Kristen has served as an expert on emotional aspects of infertility, testifying before the U.S. Senate in 2000 about the importance of government funding for fertility research and holistic treatment. She's been highlighted in national publications and broadcast media, including NBC's Today Show, Women's World Magazine, PBS Health Week, and the Boston Globe. She also is a former board member and volunteer for Reserve New England. And on the panel, we also have Sarah Knapp. Sarah, who comes from San Francisco Bay Area, is an outspoken advocate for men's reproductive health. She is the editor of DontCookYourBalls.com, the leading online resource for male fertility. She is also a co-founder of Sandstone Diagnostics, the startup behind TRAC, an award-winning system that allows men to measure and improve reproductive health from the comfort and privacy of home. We also have on the panel Jonathan Bolt, who is a writer and a journalist who turned to writing to share the humor that comes from such pain that only infertility can cause. He is the author of the book Shooting Blanks, A Husband's Perspective on Missing the Mark and Dealing with Infertility, which he wrote with his friend Steve Rhodes. He has been extensively interviewed about his experiences with infertility. I welcome you all to the panel, Kristen, Jonathan, and Sarah. And I extend my hearty welcome to all the listeners. And I would like to remind our listeners before we begin that we will be discussing questions sent in via email at the end of the show. So you can email your questions to priya@trialx.com. And if you want to ask a question live, please press 1. on your keypads and we'll bring you on air to ask them. Or you can directly post your questions to the Cure Talks website too. So with this, Dr. Brahmavat, let's begin with talking about your Drive for Men's Health program. And would be great if you could share some of the experience from the 2017 drive just to encourage the men in our audience to start thinking about their health seriously.
Hey, yeah. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm actually just finally recovering from the Drive for Men's Health. This year we drove an entire week starting in Orlando. Then we went to New Orleans where we did a parade on mm-hmm. Bourbon Street. We were in Houston. Then we went to Los Angeles. And then we ended up in Salt Lake City where we did a 5K in coordination with Zero Prostate, which is a prostate cancer advocacy group. So it was a great experience, a lot of loss of sleep and lots of hours. But this year was definitely very memorable because I feel like this year we made the most impact in engaging men because we went crazy ballistic on social media and even on the ground to do as many activities mm-hmm. that we could. And we're getting much better with our messaging. And we're also discovering mm-hmm. more about men's psyche. So this year through Orlando Health, we did a survey where we found that, you know, the problem really doesn't start when men start coming to see the doctor. The problem starts at home. So we did a survey mm-hmm. where we found that most men and boys have never discussed health, family history, or sexual history in their families when they're young. And that's when you want to start educating them because that's when you're going to be able to mold them to have safe sex practices, to have better lifestyle choices. And so that's mm-hmm. the target audience that we focus on this year. And as you know, and the rest of the panel knows, that's also the audience that either will be dealing with infertility because they're in their reproductive days, or will be making lifestyle choices which will affect their infertility very soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I urge all the men listening to this show, please visit the website www.driveformenshealth.com to learn more about this initiative that Dr. Brahmavat has started and get motivated about taking care of yourself right away. And if you have any questions for the doc related to this, you can email info@d4mh.com. Is that right, Doctor?
Yes, that's fine. Yeah. Or just find me on social media at Dr. Jamin B.
Exactly. Yeah, you're quite famous there. So, sure. Okay, so I'll not waste any more time, and I'll invite Kristen Darcy to come over and take over the show. Kristen, you're there?
I am here. Thank you so much. You know, it's a hard act to follow coming in after Dr. Drive for Men's Health. So I'm so excited to be here along with Sarah and Jonathan and, you know, bring our voices once again to bring attention to men's health and men's reproductive health, which is so connected to male fertility. Right, Doctor?
Yep.
Okay. So, Sarah, are you on the phone? Are you here? I was wondering if you would like to start off and talk about the new technology that is available for men with their fertility. And we can go from there and also bring in Jonathan's voice about, you know, how would it have been to have the knowledge about this technology way back when he started his journey.
What innovation? Yes, Sarah, your voice is breaking a lot. Can everybody hear Sarah?
No,
she's breaking up. Yeah. Sorry.
It sounds like what happens when we try to talk to men. It's all miscommunication and buzz and buzz, and it never gets into their head, and we just nod our heads.
Well, a good start.
Sound? Are you saying? That's
how we always sound. No, I'm saying. Oh, well, I didn't say that. You did.
Okay.
Now, I guess now we can hear you fine, Sarah.
Let me try again. Can you hear me now?
There you are.
There you
okay,
are.
Okay. So, yeah, I was just saying. You know, it's kind of remarkable. You know, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and you know, when I started out, there was very little, both in the way of dialogue or information or technology, to support to support men through their reproductive journey. And I feel that the last several years has really been an explosion of people starting to talk about this and new innovation. And so I just wanted to throw the question to Dr. B. You've been traveling the country and talking to lots of men. What innovations and what new things have you seen that men can use to help with their reproductive journey?
Well, I think some of the bigger innovations are things that allow men to take care of themselves and evaluate themselves at home. So if you look at apps on the phone which help track how much they're walking, how much they weigh, what they're eating, and other lifestyle apps or technologies to get them engaged at home, because you know, sometimes they may not know that, you know, these are things that I have to do or whatnot. When it comes to infertility specifically, there are several new technologies that allow men to figure out what their fertility potential is at home. So there are some apps that look at motility of the sperm. There's some technologies that look at sperm counts, and that's what Track does. And actually, interestingly, whether Track liked it or not, we did one live on air during the Drive for Men's Health. We had someone on our team that was concerned about their fertility, and we found out that he had a perfect amount of sperm counts, but we did it live on the air during the drive on the actual RV. So it was pretty cool to see the whole process and see him kind of concerned and worried and then get the results. And what we also did was we used the app that Track has to essentially log in his lifestyles. And even though he had a, you know, good counts right now, there were still things in his lifestyle that he could have changed in terms of his eating habits and his weight. So it was pretty cool to use that technology and encourage him, because, you know, most guys, their biggest excuse is, oh, I don't know what to do. But, you know, now we get rid of those excuses and put the answers and solutions right in front of their hands.
That's awesome. Like, I feel like the more that we're empowered with both education and advice and tools to get feedback, the more we can really, you know, take control of any health problem that we have. And it's really exciting to see that fertility is now joining that kind of trend of being able to be empowered to take action on your own. Because I think as a human being, you have the more concern about your health than anyone else, and your doctor is a really great partner, but you don't get to see your doctor every day. And so having something that can kind of help guide you while you are taking steps, and also realize when it is really time to reach out to your doctor and have a conversation and be able to bring some data with you, can make that conversation more productive, I think. Have men been bringing these things into your office? Have you had conversations and used it to kind of help with understanding and how does that work as a physician?
Well, it's for first we have to kind of sit them down and make them face the reality that there is a problem. So we obviously will do lab work, we'll check their semen analyses, we'll look at their lifestyle choices, make sure that the female partner has also been evaluated, and then we'll start with a discussion. So if it's something that has to do with counts or something that they can help us track at home, then yes, absolutely, this is definitely brought to their attention and recommended. And honestly, like, sometimes patients are waiting to see me. Some of the most exciting paraphernalia in the room is the Track or the Don't Cook Your Balls material. So they actually, even before I know, already to take the brochures and put it in their bags, or go ahead and order it before I even know it. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Does it help with their emotional being able to have these conversations, having them have the feeling of empowerment, or do you find that, you know, how does it help with the conversation, or how does it change the interaction?
I think it kind of just brings down some major barriers, because they're already nervous and they've already gotten yelled at home by their partners because they're not coming, or they're eating wrong, or, you know, they've already figured out that it's the guy that's the problem. So when they come see me, they're like, they think I'm just going to be firing things at them. But, you know, we use, you know, the funny things like don't cook your balls, like the logo or the slogan, or use some buzzwords that you know, to get them kind of, you know, relax a little bit. So it's kind of an art to get them relaxed, and, you know, everything is individualized and personalized. But I think once you build that trust by bringing down that barrier, then they're willing to talk about everything.
Jonathan, are you on the line?
I am.
I think it would be really a good time for you to jump in and share some of your perspective, having kind of been through this even before there were a lot of options, and now what you see now, and you know, just generally your perspective.
Yeah, well, when we first started with the infertility stuff, the doctor we went to was actually the doctor that helped my mother-in-law get pregnant with my wife, and he was just really old and outdated in all of his technology, and it was really just kind of, you know, just the basic testing that we did, and you know, some blood work and things like that. And so at first there really was nothing for me to do other than to just go hold her hand, is what I felt like. Totally felt like I was not in control at all. But now it seems like there's a lot more that we're able to do as far as understanding. Like, I've totally changed my diet, and I've since I talked to doctor last year when we were on here, I decided to get a little healthier, and I've lost about 30 pounds. And
hey!
So, you know, just,
yay!
Still got a bunch more to go, but, you know, I'm down from a year ago, and so I feel like, that little bit of knowledge has helped, not just, you know, in trying to get pregnant, but just feeling good, you know, every day. So I think that's what, for me, the biggest thing is that the more I've learned and the more that we've been able to kind of take into our use, I guess basically have control over, I felt empowered and just able to not stress so much about it and just, you know, wait for the fate to align or something like that, if that makes sense. But, yeah, so it's really encouraging to see all of this new technology, which kind of leads me to my first question. And, Doc, you know, from talking to me, I'm rarely very serious ever. So here's my science fiction question for the day. I don't know if you saw in the news how scientists just teleported a photon to outer space. Like, they just teleported it, right? How far away are we from being able to teleport my sperm into my wife's egg? Is that something that might come?
I think very soon. I mean, I have the patent to that, so it's going to come out in the next month or two.
Nice.
No, man, because why would you want to do that? The fun part is the act of doing it, man. I mean, why would you want to teleport it? And if that technology is there, then all women are going to choose that option over having to deal with us. So I think it's best we not
do that. File that patent in Sheldon.
Yeah. Sometimes the things we ask for may not be the best for long term. But I think, you know, technically stuff like that already exists. If you think about IVF and IUI, where, you know, they take ejaculate or sperm and then they infuse it. To be able to do it teleportation-wise, I think that's years, decades, and probably generations away.
So with all the DIY stuff you can do at home, with all the tracking and things, how important, and I know you're going to be biased in this answer, but how important is it with you to work with your doctor through the whole process and not just rely on the stuff you're seeing on your app?
Well, I think initially you can do everything on your own, you know, in the comfort of your home. But if there is a problem, then you're going to have to engage with someone because, you know, honestly, Dr. Google didn't go through med school and residency and fellowship. And Dr. Google is basically a compilation of what other people's thoughts and suggestions are. So there's no medical backing. And if you go on some of these websites that give you ideas and thoughts and stuff, if you read the fine print, it's going to usually say this does not, cover what can be done in a doctor's office. And a lot of these sites say for entertainment purposes only. So, you know, you have to be cognizant of that and not get sucked into it and start self-treating because, you know, honestly, you're going to get bang for your buck by engaging someone that does it on a daily basis and has that clinical experience. So nothing trumps a physician advice and an expert.
So is it helping the doctor-patient relationship at all, like having the patients that are come in more educated?
It does, but it's a double-edged sword because sometimes they'll have found some random things that they think is the answer to all their questions, or sometimes I have patients that travel out of the country and do some crazy things and then come in with all this data, and I'm like, dude, you just spent $10,000 on this? Like, and so I try not to focus too much on that and focus on what we're able to do in the future, but I think it's important to have the knowledge before you go see the doctor, and if the doctor gets irritated or annoyed and is not appreciative of the research you've done, that's probably not the right doctor for you. Because you want someone that's on the same page as you and feels challenged with you and not challenged and doesn't feel threatened by the knowledge that you bring to the table. Because this is not a dictatorship. This is more a democracy where we're in this together to get you that final result. Damn, I have some good one-liners today. I hope someone's recording these.
I love them. Tweeting those. I'm writing them down and tweeting those. I love that.
Yeah.
Challenged with you. Not intimidated by you. That is, wow, that's perfect.
Wow. So are there any newer technologies that might be helping people? Like, say, like my wife and I, we've been trying for 12 years, and we haven't gone full on and done IVF, but is there anything leading up to that might be new and groundbreaking that we should be looking into?
Yeah, this is what I tell my patients. This is what I tell my patients with any new technologies. If it's a new technology, it's had X number of years of research, and you can try it, and if it works, great, but there's not a high end value. There's not a lot of power in those studies. But something like IVF has been around for decades, and the statistics are very good, and there's been patients before you that have gone through the trial and error process and the complications, and now it's like almost a perfected technique in the right hands. So for you, obviously anything I say doesn't trump your doctor's advice, but if you've been waiting 12 years, there's no point in waiting for a new technology because there's nothing out there in the horizon that I know of. I mean, but you have something that's been now become standard of care that has been tried and tested that you will have better odds of getting the result that you want. So I would say, hey, you know what? Don't wait for the new technology, because sometimes the new technology isn't the latest and greatest and the best. Sometimes, you know, going old school is the best.
Very cool.
No, so what's your hesitation been with that?
It's really just been the cost up until now. You know, we finally, our careers are on a good path where we could probably afford it here soon, but yeah, it's mainly just been the cost, and that's even the cost has come way down from, I think 10 years ago when we were looking into it, it was like $15,000 to $20,000.
Yeah,
it's
definitely very costly. You're absolutely right. It is, and you know, there's no guarantee with one cycle or two cycles. But I know there's certain like payment plans that people can get on, and there's actually certain states that cover it, and there's actually certain jobs that cover it as well. So. You know, there's definitely ways to get around that. But at the same time, like, people forget about adoption. You know, that's always an option. Because there's hundreds and thousands of children here in the States and across the country and across the world that need parents. And I always try to bring that into light as well, is the goal is for you not to have a baby or get pregnant. The goal is for you guys to become parents. And so once you kind of open their eyes with that discussion and that thought, then they kind of relax and are more open to other things. Because let's be honest here, one more thing, going on a tangent here. Like, people, there's a stigma behind adoption because that's a cultural thing. That's something, you know, our forefathers and our grandparents have kind of put in our heads. But now we're a new generation where it's okay because it's not about having that perfect baby and that perfect way of conception. It's about becoming a parent, and let's leave it simply to that.
Well,
like
you
that.
Know, hi, this is Kristen. You know that's where I come in with helping people create their plan. But for me personally, I love that you bring that in, and I love that we're talking about this as an option to create your family. And I think it's the process of it, just like it's the process of taking that step from inside your house and looking at your fertility and coming out into light and going to a doctor. For me, it was the process to move from, you know, trying to get pregnant to being a mom. And also within that, that emotional component of grieving how you thought this was going to be, right? And I love that you brought this in, because there's also, you know, egg donation and all these amazing advancements. I know we're talking about technologies, but there's also these options. And that's why it's so important to have the team. And I love everyone's voices on here, because we all bring like a specialized focus on creating your family to parenthood. And I, you know, I'm grateful you brought up that as an option. So maybe we could ask Jonathan, you know what, I wanted to circle back if you don't mind, because, you know, when you were talking about how you have all these resources in your office that open up the conversation and relax people so that when they get to you, you're already building that sense of trust. And I know, Jonathan, in your book and with your, you know, with your co-author, you really approach this as from a place of humor, from a place of, you know, how you used humor, and I did too, to mine, to keep that spirit going, to keep that going. And I love how you know, it was talked about in the open, you know, at the beginning. So, Jonathan, why don't you kind of discuss how you do that still, right, from your writing?
Yeah, and it's funny, like, when people hear you've been trying or whatever, they just say, well, you know, why don't you just go do IVF, or why don't you adopt, or why don't you do... Everybody has their kind of cure-all for everything. And why we kind of wrote the book, the idea behind it was to kind of give people a peek behind the scenes, that it's not just like a cut and dry, here's what you got to do. You know, like, there's a lot of testing, there's a lot of heartbreak, there's a lot of ups and downs. And if you get too focused on that, it really is kind of depressing. And so what we tried to focus on was the awkward conversations people have with you, and what you'd really want to say what you're saying in your head that you wish you could say out loud to these people. And just kind of the funny stories that go along with testing. Like, I'll share one with you real quick. So Steve, who's the guy I co-wrote the book with, he is a physician's assistant. And when he was in medical school or PA school, he and his wife were trying to get pregnant, and they tried for about 6 years. And so he was working at a clinic, and he was working and going to school, and they had to do, you know, the postcoital test, where, you know, you collect the semen sample after intercourse. And so he lived like, I think, an hour from his house, or he worked an hour from where his wife was. And so they decided just to kind of meet halfway and, you know, try to collect a sample in their little Geo Metro. And needless to say, it was kind of awkward. It was a tight space. They couldn't quite do it. So, you know, they decided, well, I guess we just missed the window this time. We'll try again next time. And so they go into the gas station they had parked the car at a gas station. So that was probably awkward for everybody there at the gas station too. But so he goes in to buy a drink or something. He looks, his wife's standing at the restroom, giving him this look and like waving him over. And so he's like, oh crap, she wants me to go in the bathroom with her. And so they go into the bathroom and try to collect this postcoital sample. And he said they're doing like this tightrope dance of trying not to touch anything, and, you know, trying to avoid the walls and the floor and just anything, you know, because grody little gas station bathroom. And then they go to collect the sample, and the plastic cup cut him as he's trying to get the sample in there, and he bled all in the sample and ruined the sample. And so it was ruined anyway, and there they were in the bathroom trying to get the sample. And so people don't realize, like, that's funny, we can laugh about it now, but that's the kind of stuff that people go through, and that it's a lot more common than I don't know, maybe not meeting in the gas station bathroom, but stories like that are kind of pretty common among people, but guys don't talk about it, and it's just not something that we were comfortable with. And so that's what the point of the book was to tell these embarrassing stories that, you know, we can look back on and laugh now and say, you know what, we all go through these things. We all have experiences that are either embarrassing or uncomfortable or something we want to talk about. But, you know, it's been crazy to, I think we wrote the book about 4 years ago, and we're still getting people just talking to us on Facebook or coming into his office and talking to him about things. And it just seems like in the last, I don't know, several years, it's been, the conversation's opened up quite a bit between guys, at least in my world. And that could just be that they know I wrote the book, but, and that was kind of the point, was for people to see that it is something that we can talk about. It is something, you know, we don't have to be embarrassed about. It's has nothing to do with how virile of a man we are, you know, or how manly we are. It's just something that we go through, and it's just like anything else. It helps to have people to talk to. It helps to be able to laugh about it. And that's really the only way that we've kind of gotten through it. Cause it's, if you give into it, it can get pretty down. It's, you know, I'm sure the doctor will tell you, it's, there's a lot of depression that gets involved with couples going through this, and a lot of stress and financial strain. And you got to be able to laugh. You got to be able to tell jokes. You got to be able to enjoy each other's company and not be stressed all the time. So that's really what we tried to do with the book.
That's awesome. I love that story. I love when you share that story. I have one too I want to tell quick. I was actually with a client of mine, and we were going to a concert of all things Pat Benatar, you know, and we were walking through security, and she had all her meds with her, and I took the bag. I don't know why, but I had the bag, and the security was going to go through the bag, and I looked at him and I said, "Hey, it's full of fertility medicine." And I said, "So when you open it, there's going to be, you know, drugs in here." And he kind of stepped back from me, and he goes, "Okay, you can go by." And so she was getting her trigger shot, and there was a group of us. So we went into the restroom, and while we were in there, us women surrounding her, helping her do all this, Pat Benatar was playing in the background, "Hit Me With Your Best Shot." And we were roaring because we're like, what? Like, in this crazy connected world, right, we're all here to support her. And why I wanted to share this story is because I think everyone on this radio show right now has that drive, has that passion of to be of service and support others who are in this situation, and let them know that they're not alone. And, you know, I'm so grateful to be with you guys again and talking about it, because, you know, we started the Making Dad Summit, I think, you know, this is going to be 5 years ago this year when we, you know, come around to do another one. And it was for that. And I think you're spot on, Jonathan, that it's more in the mainstream that we're talking about men's health, that we're bringing the awareness to men and the medical gap between, you know, them going from the pediatrician to getting a physical, you know, the gap. So I'm just so grateful. And I don't know if anybody else had another question that they want to bring up about it, but the only thing I wanted to say is that there's a beginning, middle, and end to this, and it's really important for you to surround yourself with the people that support you and bring you the, you know, bring you up during this, you know, lift you up during this. And I look to you guys because you do that for me. Sarah, did you have anything you wanted to jump in on now?
I've just been tweeting and inspired by the whole conversation, because I think it's really been honest and I think a great opportunity to just open up the experience and why so many people, including myself, have really dedicated their lives to helping provide more resources for men who are trying to conceive, because, you know, it's a very isolating awkward experience, and anything that we can do to move the needle to make it better, you know, I think is a good goal. It's something that can inspire me.
So, Dr. J, did you ever think you would be doing a live Stephen analysis on a tour bus when you went to medical school?
No, not at all. And I'm surprised we didn't get arrested or kicked out, or I'm surprised that Sarah didn't unfriend me on Facebook or anything. No, I mean, but you know, the technology wasn't there, man. I mean, and the problem is that, you know, guys hate doing seam analyses. It's a small little dark room, and sometimes it's even in a bathroom of a building, and it's not very comfortable. So that's why we, when we first heard about the technology, we're like, wow, this is going to be a game changer. And we actually are opening our new office next week. We're moving in next Thursday, and our seam analysis room is like huge. It's a big room. It's has a nice red couch with some educational material, but it's a very comfortable area to do seam analyses, because we know it's so awkward for guys to do it. And there's going to be a back entrance, so they can just come. They don't have to wait in a waiting room with 100 people. You know, that adds to their anxiety. So, you know, we're trying to make efforts to make things comfortable for guys in our office, and it's great that Track was able to do something to make it even more comfortable in the comfort of their own home.
I would add that that's, I think, also a trend I've been seeing in addition to technology. I've seen medical providers and Dr. Brombot being just light years ahead, you know, trendsetter in this regard. The trend that I'm starting to see more of doctors really taking into consideration the medical and trying to create opportunity for educational dialogue. The process of getting tested and other things more comfortable, because I think there's just more awareness that men really are, you know, they're 50% of the equation. This is a team sport. This isn't a woman's issue. And so, you know, I just kudos to you, Brombot, for being, you know, a leader in setting up, like, this is what your semen analysis room should be like. And I hope every doctor in the country follows suit, because I think it's important to send the message to men that they're welcome in this conversation.
Okay. Right. Kristen, you have any questions for Dr. Reika?
Well, I wanted to ask a question about, since you just finished your last drive for men's health, did you notice this time that men were more open to come to talk to you and had better follow-up after? I was just wondering, you know, it's so much time and effort and devotion on your part.
Yeah,
and
no,
how you,
I mean,
just
no,
said
we
you
did,
were
we
recovering
did.
From it?
Yeah, because some of the cities we stopped at, we've been there before, and some of the cities, the newer cities we went to, we use a lot of flash, like, you know, I guess this is a bad segue into New Orleans, but we use a lot of, like, you know, flashy things that we did to get them attracted, like the parade on Bourbon Street. So instead of, you know, we had beads with Drive for Men's Health written on them, and we, you know, discuss educational initiatives during the entire parade, and, you know, instead of, you know, we gave the beads to all these guys, not so they would flash or anything like that, or women, but to start to, what we wanted from them is a commitment to their health. So it was pretty cool, and in every city we tried to do something like that, and I think people were much more open, and a lot of guys were like, man, I wish you guys practiced here, because I wish my doctor was as cool. So it kind of, you know, it was good.
Well, I think you're, like, you are out there setting the bar of what is the possibility, right? Because you are so thoughtfully aware of what it takes for a man to make that step, right? To take that action. And that's why I was just curious. I know we're doing it online, but I wondered how, you know, the follow through was, because I remember the last time you were talking about a story about you met that couple and he called you after and took action. So I think maybe what I'm trying to get at is that there's a ripple effect to this radio show that we're not going to know about, but we're still bringing the much needed attention to men's health, because we need each other. We need you guys. We need you healthy, you know, and you know, maybe the fertility issue is what's triggering the awareness to men's health. Like Jonathan brought up, like the lifestyle changes, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe this is just a perfect time for you to, you know, talk about the lifestyle changes that are needed and how technology can help you with that. I know you touched on it briefly, but, you know, your diet, your exercise, and, you know, of course, the last time you and I talked, we talked about other things, too, you know, masturbation and watching porn and stuff like that. So I don't know if you want to bring that up, but what technologies can be used to track that? I know Track can, but if you're a guy listening to that and says, oh, my God, they're talking about me, what was the one thing that they should do immediately?
Stop listening, get up off the couch, and start exercising. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, I said this message so many times, like, I feel like it just, it becomes redundant in my head, like, and now it's, like, almost like, duh, why don't guys just do it? But, I have to say the message with the same energy, and that's, you have to have a physician that's your friend. You should get up off the couch and exercise at least 2.5 hours a week. Actually, you know, there was a study that just came out this week that said America, out of 46 countries, it's number 30 when it comes to the amount of steps that we walk. And they actually used, got data off cell phones as cell phone trackers. And obviously, there's a lot of discussion we can have on how that's not an accurate way to measure our activity as a country. But, you know, if you look at generally as a trend, I mean, I believe it. I believe Americans are not as active as other countries, because if you look at obesity, you know, 1/3 of Americans are obese. There's millions of people dying a year because of physical inactivity, heart disease, stroke, everything. The statistics on all those are pretty much the same. So we have to do something as a country. And, you know, I mean, I hate to get political here, but we're focusing so much on Russia and what's going on in France and all this stuff. When we forget that, there's something very important coming our way, which is the new healthcare bill, and whether it's going to be the new bill or whether they're going to reform the old one. You know, this is the time for us patients to talk, and the reason there's upset people right now is because they didn't voice their opinions, and this is the time to voice our opinions, because if we don't voice our opinions as patients and doctors, then unfortunately, you know, who's going to win out is going to be the insurance companies and all the people that are funding a lot of people's campaigns. And so when it comes to men's health, men have to speak up and make sure that they have access to health care, make sure they have access to preventative screenings. And it's the same with women. They have to, you know, push for things that they believe in, whether it's Planned Parenthood or whether it's not. Whatever it is that you believe in, this is the time to often to talk. So get up off the couch, start exercising, and start talking to your local politicians and congressmen and senators, and fight for the bill that you want. Because if we don't talk now, we're going to continue to be frustrated. So don't let the media kind of distract you from what's most important right now for our country, and that's the health of our country.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Right, Jonathan, you have a question for the doc?
Yeah. So with my work being involved in the news all the time, first of all, I think you just took a shot at me as being a member of the media, but I'll let it slide.
Well, I'm not. You want to tell us what your network is?
No, that's all right. no, but so I'm always like every day I'm compiling stories and curating articles and writing things and. So I'm seeing all these stories about the crazy advancements just in technology and health and things like that. But it seems like there's a lot of ethical issues that are starting to come up in those areas. Are there any ethical dilemmas you're facing as far as fertility treatments, or is everything just kind of up for grabs right now with what's coming out?
You know, the problem with society is that people don't even actually read what's in the documents. They basically go, okay, I'm a Republican, and so I have to say no to these 10 things. And then there's, oh, I'm a Democrat, so I have to follow, because this is made by Democrats, I have to follow this. But they never think about themselves, and they often blindly will speak up and vocalize things when they don't really realize, hey, you have 3 daughters yourself. I mean, one day they may need something that you're not supporting right now, or you have a pre-existing condition and you're fighting to lose access of that because, oh, just because some Republican said that they should. So we think so much just based on, you know, whether we're an R or a D or whether we're red and blue, that we often forget that, you know, in this process you're losing yourself. And so, yes, there's obviously some things that I support personally, but when I'm sitting in the room with the patient, all my personal beliefs, my spiritual beliefs, religious beliefs, stay outside the room. And when I'm inside, I'm focusing on what they want to do, and I'm going to help get them to what they need or what they want. Because it's not my job to judge them, it's my job to help them.
I like that.
Okay. Well, I guess Sarah and Kristen, do you have any more questions, or should I go on with mine?
I think a good segue might be to, you know, we've started talking about technology, and we've talked a lot about home technology. Doc, have you seen any technology that's kind of impacting your practice? Are there new advancements on the medical side, new robots, new tests, new things that are kind of state-of-the-art happening, or is all the advancement really happening on the consumer side right now?
I think you said it. Most of the advancements are happening on the consumer side. You know, a lot of the things that we've been doing, I feel like, is par for the course. And, you know, we go to conferences every year where we see some of the latest and greatest. But some of the latest and greatest often take years to come into clinical practice, and they're often very expensive. But I don't think there's anything right now, and some of my colleagues may have something that they may know about. But for now, personally, I think everything is pretty much, you know, remain the same.
Yeah. Well, Doctor, I had a question about this semen analysis and the new tests that are coming out, home male fertility tests, right? So all of them... although, you know, the semen analysis has been used as a gold standard, but many argue that it is an imprecise measure just because of the variability between individuals and also large overlap between fertile and infertile men. So in the light of these arguments, what is your opinion about the accuracy of some of the recent fertility apps or devices that are coming out in the market that are mainly based on semen analysis?
I would say... again, none of these tests are ever going to trump a clinical opinion. And, you know, there are a lot of apps that get a lot of press attention, like Track, and then there's one that measures motility, and then there's another one that measures sperm counts. You know, I think they're all great. But at the same time, from my experience, I think Track is the only one that's been, you know, tested against semen analysis in the office at multiple locations and has been validated. So if you're looking for something as close to what we can get into the office, I think that's the one that has had the most research. Now, you know, the other tests, I'd have to look at all their data and see, but in my quick search a few months ago, I didn't find much validity done on the test. So, you know, I think all those tests are basically a start. Like, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you check your blood pressure on that machine by the pharmacy, or you go and step on the scale and you check your weight. Those are all things that are starts, and I think all these consumer devices are going to be starts to initially getting that light bulb going in your head that I have a problem and I should go see someone. So I think they're always going to be just kind of starting points that will lead you to get access to the necessary physicians down the road.
Okay, and I have a related question from the listeners, which is posted on the website, so I'll just read it out. I read about fertility tests out there with smartphone attachments, where a person can collect semen in a cup and dip a disposable microchip in the semen and then just dip it in a smartphone attachment. And you can get the results within seconds. How reliable are these tests, and are the hospitals also using these tests?
Yeah, so that's one of the tests that is being touted as the next game changer when it comes to counts. I think that coming out into clinical practice is probably years away, and I don't know much about enough about that device to say exactly how accurate it is. But I wouldn't be surprised if in the next few years something like that does come out, because we're getting so much better at point-of-care testing, meaning we don't have to draw big amounts of blood or we don't have to have big volumes of fluid, and these are things that you can check in the office. So I think right now, it's nothing that you're going to be able to get, but I wouldn't be surprised if when we're doing this podcast in 5 years that we'll be talking about this new technology that is exactly what that person had mentioned.
Right. All right. Okay. So I guess you have a case to do, so we'll not be keep you holding right here very long. And thank you so much for your time, Dr. Brahmabhat, and Kristen, Sarah, and Jonathan, thanks for your time and for your questions. It was a wonderful talk. And audience, I thank you for your support and we look forward to having you all join us for our next Fertility Cure Talk on changing the conversation about miscarriages and understanding the science behind with Dr. Laura Shaheen on August 21st, 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information on this show and other upcoming shows, visit our website, www.curetalk.com. Or you can also email priya@trialx.com. And link for the today's show will be sent via email to all the participants. So until the next show, thank you, everyone, and bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.